Page 13.
Seated, all that will come join us at the altar for prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the sunshine. Lord, thank you for our health, enabling us to be able to be here today. We just pray, God, that you'll just pour your blessings out on this service. God, that your Holy Spirit will descend on this place, that you'll prepare our hearts and minds for worship. God, that you'll use us in a mighty way throughout this week, throughout our lives. I thank you for each and every person that's here. I thank you for being a God of miracles, God, a God of love and hope and peace. And God, that if we put our faith in you, Lord, that the sky's the limit for us, and I just thank you for that. I thank you for each and every person here. I pray for those who are sick, God, that you'd heal them. I pray for those who've lost loved ones that are still grieving and mourning. I pray for peace and comfort for them, Father. And above all, I just pray that this service will be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name. As we move through our service here today, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. And all God's children said,
Amen.
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 This is our first Sunday, and we do have a couple of special songs of worship this morning. So first of all, I'm going to call on Emma Walker to come up, and she's going to bring us a special. And following Emma, Mr. Bert Hensley, if he'll come on up.
Thank you.
Give up on him yet, though.
Amen.
We have a little surprise to y'all. You hear that word, y'all. And to us, too. We've been practicing a little bit. You might call it our debut. We have a little group, and we like to call ourselves the Gathering, because we just get together and try to get it together.
Amen.
So if Louise and Dennis will join.
Amen. Oh, man. I'm not coming up now. I'm just going to tell you.
I know nothing about this.
Time will tell.
Ready?
No.
Here we are.
discerning ordeal. Is there hope for tomorrow? Put your trust in Him. On this glory road I'm traveling, many times I stumble on my way. But praise the Lord, I'll soon be leaving for that land of perfect peace and endless day. Now I can see the lights of home, and I can see Him on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm heaven bound when my journey shall end. I'll say goodbye to the world of sin. In that fair land I'll take my stand. It's good to be on this road for glory land. Now I can see the lights of home, and I can see Him on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm heaven. In that fair land I'll take my stand. It's good to be on this road for glory, on this road for glory. I'm on this road for glory land.
Man, I'm sounding good up there.
Amen. What's that?
I see I'm sounding good up there. I
appreciate it.
All right. I'm not following that up with any singing, but I'm going to come down here for a minute. Amen. That's a good group. Good group. Amen. Emma, as always, did a great job. Well, guys, anybody have anything good happen this week that you want to share? Anyone? All right, Lydia, tell us something good.
Dad's
school tomorrow.
And
yeah,
I'm going to get to see my daddy today.
Amen. All right. I'm going to be glad school's starting back up.
Amen. Amen.
I ain't got anything. Amen. I didn't get anything over here. Amen. I got an amen from Stephen over here. Amen. All right. Hey, you got something?
I got a book bag and it came with two.
So you got like three in one. Amen. All right. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. Anybody else? Oh, yeah. We got some people. Got some people. Got some good things going on here today. Amen. Who had their hand up over here? Oh, Miss Kate.
Brad made it home okay. No problem. trouble with the car, but he drove 85.
What do you mean, interstate 85, or he drove 85 coming home? Oh, well, amen. Yeah. 85 down 85. He got here a good time, amen.
Real blessing today. I have without water for 10 days, and I finally got it.
Amen. Miss Lois has water now. Amen. We were concerned about that. Anybody else? Shooter, you got something to say, buddy? Okay, what is it? You're an Ashley, son. You're not, never at a loss for words, okay?
I don't know like that.
I don't know what you want to say. Can you say God is good?
He's kind of good.
Amen. All the time, brother. Amen. All right. All right. Okay, Jack, lay it on us, brother.
I did 2 days of school on Thursday and Friday and had a good week.
Praise God. You only have 178 more. Amen. Good job. All right. Yes. She's going to say something for us. You doing good today? Alright, you gonna say something for me?
Tell my mom getting better.
Oh, is she not feeling good? We're gonna pray that she gets feeling better. Amen. Alright, somebody else? Anyone else? Okay, Brother Rich Eric right here, and then we'll work our way around.
All I can do is I'm glad that since I had my cataract taken off the left eye, I went back in and I told them I wanted the right eye there.
Amen. So you got that squared away. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Dustin. Oh, Alicia. Okay.
I'm just going to throw out a second. Mr. Richard, you're just a blessing.
Amen. Amen. He sure is, because yesterday afternoon I got in a panic. I was like, oh my gosh, I was thinking about the baptism service. I was like, did I even tell him we're having one? But he'd already come down, got wind of it, had the pool filled up and everything. I appreciate that, Brother Richard. Amen. We got the thing taken down, but I didn't. I didn't took it down. It's took in the word. I don't teach language. I just say what I want to say. I just say it.
Yesterday finished a big event for the YouTube community where a group of gaming YouTubers live streamed and earned over $250,000 for the St. Jude's Cancer Society.
Amen. If you have a question about anything, come ask this man right here. He'll give you an answer. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anyone? Yes, we won our series game Friday night. Praise the Lord. Nobody got hurt too bad.
Yeah, too bad.
And one thing that with school, when we found out that I'm starting class with one subject that I know I needed, and I'm starting my day off in Spanish class, which is a class I definitely needed so bad, but I'm able to get that and don't have to use one of my special classes to get Spanish and just.
Well, buenos dias. Okay. So there you went on you a little bit, did you? Just go in there and don't use that Espanol del Sur, though, you know, that southern phrase. Overtayam! Go in there and impress your teacher, let him know you're from the south. Anybody else? Yes. Miss Faye.
I finally got my doctor's appointment.
Amen.
It's September the 21st.
Wow, you got to wait a while, but praise God, you got one anyway, amen. All right, anybody else before we move on? Yes, sir, Brother Don.
Thank you for a praying church and a loving family.
Amen. Amen, you can't beat that. Both of those are important things in the life of a believer, amen. And we're going to continue to pray, amen.
Amen.
God's going to work great things here. Anybody else? Come on in.
Thank you, Father. Newest grandchild. Honestly, I know that they had a 7-pound, 1 ounce baby girl.
I don't know what's the comment on that.
fixing to say it's a miracle man had a baby. Claire watched and she did well. It's alright. Amen. Y'all been okay. You gotta have some fun at church, right?
I think I can. Her name is Hadley.
Caroline. See, I do that. Hadley Caroline. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God for that. Somebody say something over here. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you how my day started at home. When was it?
Friday.
I walked out the door. Now, I love feet dancers. They provide a lot of shape, but they break very easily. And there was one, we couldn't even find her car. It was underneath it somewhere. So we got a busted windshield, a couple of dents here and there, so we're going to find out what's going on there. But thank the Lord nobody was in it. And, you know, it could be a lot worse. You could be driving down the road and a tree fall on you, like Annie Tabor Woods had happened to her and several other people over the years. So we thank God that none of that happened, but just had a little issue there, but it's all right. God's going to work through it. Going to work it out. Anybody else? Hey! How are you? She's looking at somebody. I don't know who she's looking at. She's got her eyes over there. Shooter, I think she's looking at you there, buddy. You're supposed to wave back. I'll give you 12 years. He'll be waving and calling. Amen. All right. Anybody else? All right, then. Well, we'll move on. Becky, thank you.
Okay, at this time we'll go ahead and move into our offertory hymn. Let's turn to page 28. Let's stand as we sing all three verses, page 28. To God be the glory.
Yes, amen.
Given us to come to your house and worship you, and we come to this time to give back a portion of what you so graciously given to us.
Yes.
I pray that you bless the gift and the giver. May the gift be used for the ongoing of your kingdom. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now let's all stand and sing page 149. Praise Him, praise Him. 149. We'll sing the first and last verse.
Thank you. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is
Amen.
Good.
Amen. Amen. That was some great singing this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. How many of you are glad we got God's word to stand on? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we are starting up a new school year and everything, and always an opportunity for new beginnings, new friendships and everything, but we're going to embark now for about the next 3 weeks on a series I've entitled Building a Life Driven by Faith. Building a life driven by faith. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to study some great men and women of faith and how they put their faith in God, even though they couldn't see and didn't understand what was fixing to happen. They put their faith in Him, and He did great things through them. And that's what I hope we can take away from this series is, hey, you put your faith in God, and you won't go wrong, amen?
Amen.
You put your faith in Him, and He's going to guide your paths. When you try to lean on your own understanding, then that's just it. You're on your own. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. Now, that's not to say you're not going to slip up and mess up and fall down a little bit along the way, even when you are putting your trust in God. But I can promise you this, you'll never regret it. Amen.
Amen.
You'll never regret it when that happens. So we're going to read about the first 7 verses today in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word. Beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Father God, we just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Let the next few minutes be nothing about me, but let it be all about you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask you a question this morning. What is it that pleases God? What is it that pleases God? You ever thought about that? God, how do I please you? How can I please you? Well, we know the basic things we need to do. We need to follow the Ten Commandments. We need to follow what God's Word says. That's true enough, right? Those are things that we need to do. But what does it take to please God? Guys, for some people, the way we please God is through rituals. Rituals. Let me tell you something. Rituals mean nothing to God. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Rituals mean nothing to God. It doesn't matter how we fold the tablecloth when we're doing the Lord's Supper. That's a ritual. That doesn't mean anything to God. It's what we represent by what we do that means something to God. Rituals can sometimes be the driving force behind the church. And guys, when it gets to that point, we've forgotten the whole picture. We've thrown faith out the window and we become ritualistic. When I think of rituals and I think of people who are ritualistic in the Bible, the first group of people that comes to my mind are the religious leaders of Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were ritualistic. They had to have these fancy robes on. I don't care what you come into God's house with, as long as it's decent and as long as you're here. Amen?
Amen.
I don't care if you come in here wearing sandals or, heck, you can even come barefooted as far as I'm concerned. But please have some clothes on. Amen? That's all I'm asking. But guys, when you get so ritualistic, oh, well, you can't come in this church. You're not dressed properly. If you ever go to a church like that or you ever visit a church like that, let it be your last visit. Amen? Because that's a ritualistic church. That's a church who thrives on ritual, who has a set standard of how you've got to be in order to come and worship God. Let me tell you something. Back in Jesus' day, He didn't care who you were or how you came. The important thing is that you came. Amen. And when you walked away, you were a better person than before you came. Amen. That's what's important. That's how you grow in the Lord. It's not about what you wear. Although I got to admit, I do look pretty good up here today. Amen. It's not about what you wear. Amen. I had to just throw that in there, okay? You know, new boots, y'all see the boots, amen?
Yep.
Amen. Okay. All right. I ain't doing that again. I about failed. My vertigo kicked in when I raised my leg up, amen? But guys, it's not about rituals. You know, some people chant prayers and pray over certain things and light incense and candles or the like of that, but that's not what the Bible says. Nowhere in God's Word do you see that we have to be ritualistic about our worship and service to God. It's not in there. It's not in there, especially in the New Testament. You won't find that. You know, others think that we please God through following rules and regulations. Other people think we follow God by following rules and regulations. Guys, let me tell you something. A church that has too many rules and too many regulations is forgetting the whole purpose of that church, and that's to serve God. You see, you can't have all these rules. Don't do this. Don't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You show me one place in God's Word where Jesus in the New Testament church said, have all these rules and regulations or you won't be able to worship right. It's not in there. But see, we become that way. We get caught up in that. We let that be the driving force behind the church a lot of times. We make a list of what we're supposed to do and not to do. And if we do all the to-dos and don't do any of the do-nots, then we think God's going to say, that's good enough for me. You did a great job. Let me tell you something. That's nothing but filthy rags in God's eyes. God is not concerned about our bucket list of do's and don'ts. He's concerned about this right here. Our heart. He's concerned about where our heart is, where our faith is. And that's what this whole series is about developing the kind of faith it takes to please God. Amen. Let me go back, and I want to read that first verse to you one more time in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Think about that. We're going to come back to that in just a minute, because when somebody asks you, what is faith? You can't just sit there and go, well, you got to have an answer for them. You know, I have faith that when I get in my car and I crank it up, it's going to run and it's going to get me from point A to point B. We don't have a problem with that kind of faith, do we? But when it comes to having faith that God is going to heal our loved ones and God is going to raise us up out of depression and rejection, sometimes we have a problem with that, don't we? Well, if you trust that God's going to let your car crank up, can't you trust Him that He's going to heal you? Amen. Can't you trust Him that He's going to get you from point A to point B? That He's going to straighten out relationships in your life that need to be straightened out? See, we pick and choose where we put our faith. But I want you to get from this whole series that faith means you trust when you can't see. And you lean on God throughout the process. Amen. That's what it's about. Then there are those that think that we please God through religious observances. That's the Pharisees right there, buddy. Religious observances. Oh, we observe certain holy days or attend certain religious events, and then we're religious enough to hear God say one day, we're okay. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, by faith are you saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. It's by your faith in Jesus Christ that you get saved and one day you end up in heaven. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you observe. It's not about religious ceremonies you go to or holy days you recognize. Now, it's great to recognize those. But let me tell you something. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, none of them mean anything to you. Amen. None of them. It's just nothing. So don't get caught up in the religious observances. Guys, what does the Bible say about faith? Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 verse 6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now think about that. How many of you believe you're men and women of faith? Raise your hand. I hope everybody does. Amen. I am a man of faith. Does that mean I always put my faith where I should? No. There's times when I doubt. There's times when I've said, Lord, where are you? When are you going to show up? What's going on? But guys, it doesn't mean that I don't trust that I serve a master who is capable of doing all those things that I've asked of him. I've just got to continue to focus my faith and let him handle it. That's the hardest part, isn't it? Just turning your whole life over to God and let him and say, God, I'm putting my life in your hands. Where you lead me, I will follow. Where you take me, I will accept. The things you put me through, I may not like them, but I'm going to do them and I'm going to accept them and I'm going to consider it joy when I go through those trials and tribulations in my life. Amen? How many of you can relate to trials and tribulations in your life? Raise your hand. We've all had them. Guess what? The Bible says they're going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming. You got to have faith that we serve a God who will not put more on you than you can handle. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We got to believe that, hey, they're going to keep coming. But guess what? God's faith keeps coming. Amen. God's faith keeps coming into your life. Your faith in him and his faith in you, when they come together, there's nothing more powerful in all the world.
Amen.
Nothing more powerful than that in all the world. When those things mesh together, there's nothing more powerful than that. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. It tells us that those who come to God, first of all, must believe what? That he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. You know how you earn your rewards in heaven? You diligently seek God every day of your life. God, where do you want me to go? God, what do you want me to do? God, who do you want me to talk to? God, who do you want me to go visit? God, who do you want me to lend a helping hand to? When you diligently serve God, you will be rewarded. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You will be rewarded. But guys, here's the problem. There's one word that's attached to that that separates some of us from others. The word diligently. What does it mean to be diligent in what you do? It means you're going to put your all into it. It's going to be a priority to you. It's going to be the most important thing to you. If you diligently serve God, God is going to be the most important thing in your life. Not your wife, not your children, not your job, but Almighty God. Amen?
Amen.
And when you put him first, your family, your spouse, your children next, then everything else below that, your life is going to be fulfilled. Your life will be full. Your life will be meaningful. But when you get those priorities out of whack and your faith gets all messed up there, you're going to struggle. And sometimes you're going to be out there by yourself. Now, God's promised to never leave us nor forsake us, but he never promised not to let us just go off on our own and try to solve things ourselves, right? That's where we mess up. That's where we mess up. The Bible tells us God's not interested in rituals. He's not interested in rules. He's not interested in regulations or religion. I call that the four R's. He's not interested in those. He is interested in relationships. He's interested in relationships. How is your relationship with God? Ask yourself that question. How is your relationship with God? Could it be better? Yes. All of ours could, right? Could it be worse? Yeah, it could be worse. Some people don't even have a relationship with God in this world, and they wonder why their life is heading in all kinds of directions. You see, God is interested in relationships. That's what the Pharisees couldn't understand. They couldn't understand how Jesus could love all of these sinners, as they labeled them, and wanted to hang around them and wanted to preach to them and didn't want to come and hang around with them. It's because they already were above everything in God's eyes. They already thought that they were it. But let me tell you something. They missed the boat. Why? Because they didn't have the faith it took to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah that was sent. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. Now, let's begin this journey today. I'm going to cover 2 points today. There's 6 points I want to cover over the next 3 weeks, this week included. I'm going to cover point one and two today, and I'm going to be done. I want to go over some different aspects of how we can build a life of faith. Guys, if you have faith that when you walk out the door of your house, you're going to walk back in it the same day, that evening, that's good. But if you don't have faith that when you face circumstances in your life that God is not going to see you through it and is not going to help you get through it, then you're missing something. And I want you to learn how to get that faith and keep that faith. There have been many times where my faith has been challenged, but not once have I denounced God. Not once have I said, God, you've left me. God, you're not real. I still believe in Him, no matter what circumstance I go through. And guess what? If you're a born-again believer, no matter what happens to you in your life, you are covered. You have the best life insurance policy that anybody can offer you. Amen? Can I get a witness? You got the best life insurance policy that you can ever get. It's called the blood of Jesus. It's free. You don't have to pay a premium for it. You don't have to. What if Jesus said, that's going to be $150 a month for my blood to cover you? Amen? Boy, people be getting out of line for Jesus then, wouldn't they? But it's free. That's why I don't understand why more people don't want to tap into that. It's a free gift. Number one, faith is believing in what we don't see. Faith is believing in what we don't see. Can I physically see God?
No.
No. Can I physically see Jesus?
No.
No, I cannot. But I can tell you one thing, He's living right here in my heart.
Amen.
I can tell you one thing, I've seen what He's done in my life.
Amen.
I can tell you one thing, I've seen how He's picked me up when I was at my lowest point and put me back up on that mountaintop. Amen.
Amen.
I can tell you what Jesus has done for me.
Amen.
That's how I know He exists.
Amen.
That's how I know He's going to reward me one day for being faithful and for staying in His will, not getting out of His will. See, too many of us are in and out and in and out of God's will. Guys, get in His will and stay there.
Amen.
Get in there and stay there. There's no greater comfort you can ever have than staying inside the will of God. Have faith that God is going to take care of you through everything. You got to believe in what you don't see. Verse 1 of chapter 11 is a description of what faith is, maybe a definition. The rest of this chapter is the example of faith. That's why we're going to explore this chapter over the next 3 weeks. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. You know why I believe a lot of times. First of all, let me just say this. Now, you can disagree with me if you want to, but this is biblical what I'm fixing to tell you. Our days are numbered. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God already knows how long He's going to allow us to stay on this earth. Now, if He tarries and doesn't send Jesus back, then we're going to all face physical death, right? Some of us sooner than others. But let me say this. Our days are numbered. So I have learned through studying the Scripture and through experience that oftentimes I hear people say, oh, well, if I just hadn't have done this, if I hadn't have let them go out and go off to that place, they would still be here today. No, they wouldn't. Because God had already ordained that that was the amount of years He was going to give them. Now, here's what I do believe. That before God calls you on to be with Him, the quality of your life can be much better than it is now if you put your trust in Him and you get your life focused in the right direction.
Amen.
I believe if God's going to give you 70 years, that if you continue to abuse your body, you're going to have a lot of health problems for those 70 years. If, however, you take care of yourself and you love God and you serve Him, you may have 70 great years with just a little bit of complication. So you see, it's about having faith in Him for the years He gives you here on this earth.
Amen.
So faith is believing in what we don't see. It's the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Guys, that's what gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, and it's certain of what we do not see. I know Jesus is coming back one day. I can't see that, but I know it because I love Him and because I trust His word that tells me He's coming back.
Amen.
He's coming back to take His church home to be with Him, His bridegroom. The bridegroom is coming for His bride. The church. It's going to happen. We often say this. How many of you said this before? I'll believe it when I see it. I've said that a lot. Forgive me, Lord. I say it a lot of times around kids. I was like, I'll believe that when I see it. But you know what? That's not showing a lot of faith, is it? When we say those words, I'll believe it when I see it, it's basically saying to that person, I don't really think you can do that. So for anybody I've ever said that to, I want to publicly apologize to you right now. I shouldn't have said that. Here's what I should have said instead. Well, with God's help, man, Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I should have said, not that, oh, I'll believe that when I see it. So God has opened my eyes in this study. And I apologize for that. If I've ever said that to anyone and doubted your capabilities or your abilities in service. God, however, says we have it backwards. God's saying this. When we say that, we got it backwards. We have to believe it in order to see it. We have to believe it in order to see it. Now that's faith. That's faith right there. You believe it in order to see it. Anytime an architect plans a building, or an artist creates a sculpture, or an athlete's trying to break a record, they have to believe and envision it before they can accomplish it. You're never going to build a building without a plan and some idea of what you're going to do, right? You're never going to paint the greatest painting in the world unless you first think about it and maybe sketch some things and get some ideas. You will never break an athletic record unless you envision that you can do it. So you got to have vision. In order to have faith, you got to have vision. You got to have that vision that you can do it. They have to believe it's possible long before it'll ever be possible. We're going to talk about Noah here in just a second. Think about how long it took him to build that ark. Years. He had to think about it before he ever got to see it. He had to keep being faithful and have that faith. While we may not see God, it doesn't mean he doesn't exist. Man, I tell you, those atheists out there in the world, show me how God exists. Prove to me that God exists. I say to them, prove to me he doesn't. Amen.
Amen.
You prove to me he doesn't, and I'll prove to you he does. Okay? He does exist. How do we know that? We know it from looking around us. We know it from his creation. You're going to tell me that everything on this earth just by random chance happened at some point in time in the history of this world. You're going to tell me that the human body, the way it's designed, the intricacy of the human body, how all these systems function to keep us alive, just happened out of some teeming pool of bacteria 4 billion years ago. That's ridiculous, amen? God ordained all of this stuff. And there are even atheist scientists now who are actually starting to say, there must be a supreme being out there. For the first time in our history, they're starting to come forward and say that. So the next time if you come in contact with any atheist and they say, prove to me that God exists, you say, prove to me that he doesn't. And see what happens then. That conversation's going to end real quick because they're going to be like, well, okay. But anyhow, guys, while we don't see the face of God, we do see him in creation. In his creation. Look at the trees. Look at the grass. Look at the flowers. Look at the animals. And tell me God doesn't exist.
Amen.
There's no way. We serve a God of existence. He's in our lives. He's working in our lives each and every day. And the changed lives of those who by faith have come to believe. Guys, you know you're saved when you tell God, you confess to Jesus your sins, ask for forgiveness, acknowledge that he died and was resurrected the third day on the cross, and tell him you want to invite him in your heart. You know you are saved when you become a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
When the old is truly gone and the new is truly coming. Tonight we're going to have a baptismal service for 3 young men that accepted Christ at the first day of the tent revival back in the first part of June or the end of May. I want to encourage you to come and support them in that endeavor. But 3 more souls added to the Lamb's Book of Life because of their belief in a God who they cannot see.
Amen.
Because of the faith in a God they cannot see.
Yeah.
But they believe it in their heart, just as all of us do that know Jesus as our Savior. Astronaut John Glenn. How many of you are old enough to know John Glenn or remember John Glenn? Famous astronaut. Look at what he once said. To look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God is to me impossible. It just strengthens my faith.
Amen.
Now that's from a man who saw the earth from the outer limits of space. Looking back down on the earth. That'd be a pretty awesome sight to see, wouldn't it? To see that earth suspended there. How does this thing stay here? How am I getting up out of this atmosphere where I can even look at that? God's done so many amazing things. Number two, and I'm done. Faith is obeying when we don't understand it. That's a tough one, isn't it? Faith is obeying when we don't understand it. November of 2003, I don't understand why I heard the words, "Your son has cancer." I don't understand it. But guess what? God had a bigger plan. Through all of that, and through his subsequent death, many young people have been reached through that and will continue to be reached. I didn't understand it. I still don't understand it. Guess what? It's not my job to understand it. Amen. It's my job to accept by faith that God was doing something great, even through a disaster like that. Yes. I just got to trust him. I just got to trust him. I got to have faith that God is always up to something good. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. God's always up to something good. Can you believe what Noah must have thought when God told him that he was going to wipe out every living thing on earth and start over with him? I can see Noah now. God's like, Noah, or it's probably like, Noah, come here. Yes, sir. I'm going to destroy everything on this earth except your family and you and two of every kind of creature that crawls and flies and slithers around on this earth. Go build me an ark. I'll give you the dimensions, and you and your family and all these animals are going to go in there, and then I'm going to kill and destroy everything else. Can you imagine what he probably was thinking? What are you talking about? He started talking about rain. What's rain? Rain didn't exist back then. We're going to talk about that in a second. Verse 7 tells us that Noah was warned of things not yet seen and was moved with godly fear. And guess what he did? He went and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Yes, sir, God, I fear you, but in a good way. Don't fear God just out of sheer fear. We should all have a reverent fear of God, amen?
Amen.
But don't fear him just like, oh my gosh, God's going to strike me down and hit me with this giant fly swatter and splat me all over the road. God's not like that. But God does expect us to have a reverent fear of him, and that's what Noah was exhibiting here. He had that godly fear, and he went and prepared that ark. I'm sure Noah had questions. Guys, we always have questions when things come up in our life, don't we? It's okay to question God. Yes, I said that from up here at the pulpit. It's okay to question him. But guess what? In the end, you still got to put your faith in him. You can say, God, why? God, what for? God, what could possibly good come of this? But in the end, you got to have your hope and your trust in him and him alone. Amen. You got to trust him with what he's doing. I'm sure there were plenty of questions Noah had. See, rain was non-existent before God flooded the earth with it. Things were watered by a mist that came up out of the ground. There was no rain. The atmosphere was different then. But God changed that when he decided, I'm going to start back over. Noah obeyed even though it may not have made sense to him. He obeyed even though it didn't make sense. Guys, let me tell you something. You know how you're where you need to be in your faith. It's when you can still obey God even though it doesn't make sense to you. That's how you know your faith is where it needs to be. And until your faith gets to the point where no matter what comes up in your life, no matter how senseless it seems, no matter how crazy it seems, you can still put your faith and hope and trust in a living God. Amen? That's what we've got to learn to do. We've got to be able to do that. Noah, if his faith had not been there, guess what? We wouldn't be in this building right here today.
Yep.
If his faith had not been there, then God said, well, I'm just going to destroy everything. You too, Noah. We wouldn't even be here today. So it's because of that man's faith, his reverent fear of God, that we're able to be here today in this place. I want to ask you a question as we close today. Where is your faith at? If we had to grade your faith right now, would you get an A? Would you get a B? Would you get a C? Would you get an F? Let me tell you something, guys. Faith. With faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains in your life. Amen. You know how small a grain of mustard seed is? You can't hardly see it. What God's saying there is, I don't need you to have but just a little bit of faith in me and see what I can do in your life. Are you willing to trust Him with everything? That's what it boils down to. The next 2 weeks, I'm going to cover some more points about what it takes to have that kind of faith. I hope you'll come back because we're going to do this 2 more weeks. I got 6 points to cover. I covered 2 of them today. But guys, I want to say this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot believe in God. Without faith, you don't believe that Jesus existed on this earth. But with faith, you can move those mountains in your life. You can do all things that Christ gives you that strength to do. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Do we always understand why things happen? No, we don't. And guess what? We never will. I don't even know if when we get to heaven, we'll be allowed to question God as to why certain things happen. We probably won't. We'll be so happy to see everybody then. Who cares? Amen. It'll all be over then. But guys, while we're here on this earth, I want to encourage you to have the faith it takes. I want to encourage you to read chapter 11 of Hebrews. Read it often this next week. And we're going to continue down this journey. But I can tell you this. It's because of faith that families come together. It's because of faith that people come to know Jesus. It's because of faith that people get healed of illnesses. It's because of faith that relationships can be mended. Do you have the faith it takes? And do you give God the credit and the glory when your faith in Him brings about what it is you're praying for? We need to all fall on our knees and thank God for everything He's done for us.
Amen.
We could just fall down on the floor right here and never get done thanking God for everything He's done for us.
Amen.
Don't think about the bad things. Yeah, they're going to happen. But think about the things that God wants you to accomplish in the rest of your life. Don't look back. Don't look back. Let me tell you something. When you look back, guess who's right there on your heels? The devil. Satan's nipping at your heels. Oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, you made a mistake. Oh, you should have listened to somebody else. You need to go back to where you were. Let me tell you something. When God sent Moses to bring a message to Pharaoh to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, I guarantee you in their hearts he was saying, don't look back. Keep going. And you will find your promised land. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, God, for faith, because without it, we'd be nothing. Without it, we couldn't serve you. Lord, I thank you for the things that have happened in the life of this church over the years because of faith of many people. Lord, I believe right here, right now, today, because of the faith of the many who are here today, that we're going to see healing take place in the future. For illnesses, for relationships, for friendships. God, I just believe that. And God, I pray that you'll help us to continue to believe and trust you. Even though we can't physically see you, we know you're there. We feel your presence. And God, I just pray that you'll help us to be men and women of great faith. Not shifting like the sands, where one minute we believe and the next minute we're not sure and we don't know this and we don't know that. But help us to be so strong in our faith that one day we can say, God, whatever it is you plan on doing with me, I'm going to accept it right now and I'm going to be thankful for it. Then we'll know we truly have the faith it takes. I pray, God, if there's anybody here today that needs to accept you as their Savior, that they'll come and do it today. God, I pray that this altar will be flooded with people, God, who need to come up here and say, God, I want the faith it takes. I believe in you. I know you're going to heal. I know you're going to help me. I know you're going to protect me. And it's in your precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. What are we singing?
Hymn number 224.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 224.